So I would like to preach this morning, and the title of my preach is Abide, Belong, and Contribute, ABC, the ABC of church. But before we start with the preach, I would love to give you a sermon illustration. So can I ask the two strapping young men to come forward with whatever you need? Sage and Kyan. Do you have your other stuff? Let's bring it to the front, but just in the meantime, let's bring it to the front. Thanks, Nick. You can be the luggage carrier. Do we have any bean bags in the? Please, can we grab one of those? Okay, so I would like to introduce you to two of the strongest young men in our congregation. On the right, we have the older brother. His name is Sage. And thank you so much, John. Thank you. It's now in the way, but that was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, John. Patrick, we have one. We have one. Thank you so much. And so this is Sage. Say hi to everyone, Sage.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hello, everyone. And then we have Kyan here, the younger, but potentially, I don't know which one is going to be faster. And they're going to have a race this morning, okay? And the race is starting over here where they are. And they have to run basically here and then down the passage. And then in the middle, right, not at the back, right? So come in by that door there and here and round and then up this aisle here. And the first one back is the winner. Does that make sense? You got it. Okay. So this is actually to see which one of you is the fastest and the best. I know there's been a lot of back and forth over the years, you know. But you're going to take off. Patrick, you have something to say? Patrick brought snacks, and we're going to be taking. No, there's not going to be no betting. Okay. We're going to start off like a proper, and please be careful, don't run into this because, you know, yeah. So this is the line here. Take your marks. No. I mean, there we go. You don't, it's up to you. You can, yeah. Get set. Go. Okay, that was amazing. That was amazing. Say, yes, your son won. Your son won, yes. That was amazing. Congratulations, Sage. Just pipped Kyan at the end there. There was a little bit of wrestling as they went around the corner there, I noticed. So that was an amazing race, guys. Well done. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have another race. Sorry, that was just a warm-up, okay. But this time, Sage, I would like you to put on what you've brought, please. So, there are some weights. And sunglasses, there we go. Okay, weights, there we go. And is there more? A bag. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, great. Okay. And a bean bag. Oh, do I need to add the bean bag? Okay. I'll put this in the bag. Is that okay? Okay.
Help me open the bag. Sure.
These weights are quite heavy. Shame, man. Okay, and a beanbag. Okay, all right. So at least Hold on. Just look. Let them see you. I mean, doesn't he look cool? All the strappings of it, this is what they look like when they come out for the 100 meters, you know, at the Olympics, with the sunglasses and. Okay, all right, here we go. Just a little bag for you. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right, so guys, ready? On your marks. Set, go. What's happening, Sage? Come on, he's taking it easy. Yo, well done. Guys, give them a big round of applause. Thank you. Well done. Are your hands okay there? Okay, well done. Okay, guys, you can go grab a seat. Thank you so much. Your other son won this time. Is it okay if we have some fun in church sometimes? So, we are in a race. The Bible describes that we're in a race, that we have to run. We are like airplanes standing on a runway. And there's a runway, and we have to apply maximum effort so that we can take off. And I want to read some scriptures to us. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be in Hebrews a lot today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses in Sunningdale, 11 a.m. No, it doesn't say that. Witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Did you notice that the two young men running today? Who was the faster one? Sage. Just. What was that? Patrick's son. Sage was the faster by a little bit. Until he picked up some stuff. And then who was the faster? Kyan. And here it says, since we are all witnesses. Okay, I'm not going to go into too much detail. Let us run with perseverance the race that God has set before us. James 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." And so those two scriptures are encouraging us that we have to run with endurance. And we have to stand the test with perseverance. So these are encouragements or commands from God. But unfortunately, if you're anything like I am, we have a tendency to drift from our race. Hebrews 12, verse 1 again, the same scripture. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." Why would the Apostle Paul say we have to strip off the weight that slows us down? It's because we are constantly picking up weights. And it says, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Sage had that green rubber band around his hands. He was supposed to be wearing it around his legs. And that is what sin is like. Can you imagine? Have you ever done a three-legged race where you're tied to somebody? We strap ourselves onto sin the whole time, and then we wonder, why is it so difficult, and why am I falling behind in this race that God has put before me? Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." The writer of Hebrews would not say we have to be careful lest we drift away, if it were not possible to drift away. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia, and he says, I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. You know, if Sage started here and he started running, but then when he got round the corner and through the passage, he turned left, he could have still continued running, but he would have been running the wrong way. And would he have won his race? No, he wouldn't. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Another translation says, causing you to turn away from the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. And so there are obstacles, there are weights, there are sins, there are people that we can associate with, there are activities and hobbies and entertainment and all sorts of things that can trip us up or make us drift from course or turn off the track. And Hebrews 6 verse 4 says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, to restore them to repentance. So God calls us to run with perseverance, with focus, with effort. But the danger is that we drift, or we fall, or we turn away. And the context of our race, you see, Sage and Kyan were running here this morning in a very supportive environment. Everyone was clapping for them. Go, 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 Sage, go, Kyan. Their dad was there. Come on, boys, you know? But we run in a context where everything and everyone is against us. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to reach the end. The whole world is full of distractions and weights and hindrances. So the first illustration I've given is that of a race. Or not that I've given, that God has given us. And the second illustration is a call to be fruitful. It's different. John chapter 15, verse 16, and we're gonna read a lot of John 15 in a little bit. Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. So the call of God is on each one of us to produce lasting fruit. Colossians 1 verse 10, Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. John chapter 15 again, verse 8, and again we're going to come back to this, says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And finally, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. So we're called to run a race, and we're called to bear good fruit. Those two things. And in the same way as there is danger in a race, that we slow down or drift or turn away or become distracted or pick up things that hinder us or trip us up in the race, in the same way, there is a danger that we slow down in our fruitfulness, that we lessen in our production of fruit, that we reduce in the size of the crop that we're bearing, or that we change the kind of fruit that we are producing, or go into a season of barrenness. There's a risk in the race, and there is a risk in the fruit-bearing exercise. And so what I want to preach on this morning is, how can we run well, and how can we bear fruit well? How can we avoid the pitfalls, distractions, weights in the race and remain alive and well through every season of our lives? And the answer is by giving ourselves to the ABCs of the Christian life. By abiding, belonging, and contributing. So let's look at abiding. John chapter 15, from verse 1 to 17, is a passage that is all about abiding. And I'm going to read it for you. Could we put it up? Is it Christian? Great. And verse 1, Jesus starts and says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. And we're going to pause there, because Jesus is the only true grapevine. If you think about a grapevine and branches, Jesus is saying, I am the only true source of life. If I take a branch off the grapevine, I break it off or I cut it off and I leave it on the side, how many grapes is it going to produce? None. Why? Because there's no life in the branch. There's only life in the vine. And so for the branch to produce fruit, it must be connected to the vine. What happens if I take a grapevine branch and I connect it to an olive tree? What will it produce? Nothing. What's that? A grolive. So the first point we get from this is that Jesus is your source. Jesus is your life. Jesus is your grapevine that you must be plugged into if you are to produce fruit. The second thing we get from that, he said, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. God the Father is an interested, active gardener in your life. Bless you. The Father is interested like a gardener is interested. Have you seen a gardener at work? I've seen them. They don't just get their hands dirty. They kneel down in the soil and they dig and they water and they put fertilizer and that's what the Father is doing in your life. And if you're wondering, what am I going through? Why is life so difficult? Why is everything moving around? Why am I not comfortable? It's because the Father is actively gardening. And everything that He's doing in you is so that you would produce more fruit. And you can trust the gardener, even when he comes with his scissors. What do you call them? Shears. Cheers. What do you call them? Secateurs. There we go. There's a gardener. And the last thing is that we are the branches if we are in Christ. We are the branches if we are in Christ. Verse 2. Are you enjoying it so far? Verse 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. You're like, hold on, whoa. I thought he was a loving, active, kind, gardener. Yes, he is. But the father, if he doesn't see fruit, results, action, change, cuts off branches. We need to produce fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, we'll be cut off. And later on it says, we'll be thrown away and wither. And later it says, and we will be gathered together to be burned. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. The Bible is very clear. You see, the Christian life doesn't work like this. You believe, you put up your hand, you pray a prayer, and then you're fine, you've got your ticket to heaven, and now you can do whatever you want. No, no, no. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is you believe, and you ask God to come, and he starts to actively, by his Spirit, enter your life and work. And what is the job of the Holy Spirit? The job of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit comes, and then suddenly you're living a certain way, and you want God to accept you the way that you are. But God says, no, I love you too much to leave you in your sin, with your weights, with your sunglasses and your rubber band and your beanbag that you've brought in. And he says, you can't run like that. You can't win your race like that. He loves you too much to leave you like a big bush that is growing in every direction. And he starts to trim you and cut so that you might be correctly positioned, so that you might produce fruit. And so it continues. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. How much is enough fruit? Have you ever gotten to the place where you're like, I'm serving God, I'm in his will, I'm doing everything that he's asked of me so far? Anyone ever been there? Careful. It's a great place to be where you've done everything that he has said so far. But the next thing he does is he prunes again. Why? So that there might be more fruit. More fruit. And so if you've come in today and you're like, there's fruit in my life, congratulations. Now's the time for more. And then it says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message that I gave you. So you see, it's the message, the truth, the words of God that prune and purify us so that we can bear fruit. It's the Word of God. That's why we preach the Word of God on a Sunday. That's why we read our Bibles every day when we wake up as the first thing, so that the Word of God can come into our minds and our hearts and cut away at the hindrances and obstacles that are in our lives. It's the Word of God that opens our eyes to see the beauty of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, the value of God and of His church and of His work. It's the Word of God that is like a light that shines onto our path, and it shows us where the dangerous cliffs are. It's the Word of God that warns us to avoid the path that goes down to the adulteress. It's the Word of God that shows us the dangers and warns us against sin. It's the Word of God that teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's the Word of God that encourages us to do crazy things like die to ourselves and deny ourselves and to participate in the sufferings of Christ. to flee from the things of the world. It's the word of God that prunes the world from us. And it continues, verse 4, remain in me. Another translation says, abide in me. Abide means remain, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if we want to see the life of God and the fruit of God, if we want to see in the race our legs rising high, you know, knees up, if you want to see progress and speed and you want to, then you need to abide. You need to remain in Jesus and let his word remain in you. Why? Because he's the only source of the fruit, of the life, of fruitfulness. Without him, we cannot produce fruit. And practically, what does that mean? It means we need to be reading the word of God daily. We need to be hearing him daily, adjusting daily, repenting quickly when we notice that we've drifted. Verse 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. We dealt with that already. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love. So there was a lot there in that paragraph, and we can't deal with all of it. But Jesus is saying, if you obey my commandments, then you remain in me. If you obey me, then you remain in my love. Just as I obeyed the Father in everything, and therefore I remain in his love. Jesus is our example. Verse 11, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And the truth of it is, if we remain in him and in his love and in obedience to him, we will be filled with joy. Hello. If we remain in him, we will be filled with joy. And our joy will overflow. Can I ask, have you noticed sometimes in life, you get down. You get discouraged. Anyone feeling discouraged? Sometimes life is terribly difficult. Almost unbearably difficult. And yet we can still be filled with his joy. We can be overflowing with joy in the most difficult and painful of circumstances. And if you're finding in your life that life is so dull and painful and difficult, maybe you have drifted away from the vine. Nothing in this world that we seek or substitute him with will ever supply the joy that he promises if we just remain in him. And then Jesus says, verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And in verse 17 he says, this is my command, love one another. And you know what happens is when we are plugged into Jesus and when we remain in him, in other words, there's a daily choice to remain or to move away. There's a daily choice. The way we remain is by following the Spirit. And so when he says, Lucas, I don't want you to be doing that with your time. I have a choice. I can remain or I can step out. And if we remain in him, then what he does is he calls us, he invites us to join him in his mission. And his mission is to live a life of love. It's to live a life of laying down our lives for others. It's to live a life of participating in the sufferings of Christ with him. It's a life of growing in love, in holiness, in character, in faithfulness, in joy, and in hope, and then serving and loving others. That is what he calls us to. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been telling a parable about a seed and a sower and some soil. And in that, in verse 18 to 20, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. And so the risk that we face in our abiding or remaining in Christ is the risk of crowding out. What did Sage face when he ran the second time? His vision was obscured by the beanbag and by the sunglasses. He couldn't drive with his hands like he did the first time or hand off Kyan as he went around the corner, which might have been the reason he won the first time. He was obstructed because his running had become crowded with stuff. And that verse, it describes the things that come into us to crowd out the Word of God. So the Word prunes, it cuts, so that we can bear fruit. But the world crowds, it gives you stuff to think about, to focus on, to distract you, to crowd out your calendar and your time and your life. Things like the worries of life, the lure of wealth. I remember being in business for 15 years or 16 years in the Isle of Man. And constantly I would have Jonathan, my pastor. Any of you know Jonathan Stanfield? One of the men, one of the reasons why I'm still following Jesus is Jonathan. You know what he would do? He would say, hey, Lucas, we need to have a coffee. And I'd be like, sure, Jonathan. I'm quite busy this week. He was like, no, I can fit in around you. I said, okay, well, how about 6 a.m. on Thursday? He'd be like, done. I'll be at your house 5:45 to pick you up. I'm like, oh. And he would pick me up, and we would go and sit somewhere, a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And he would say, how's things going? I'd be like, yo, I'm busy, Jonathan, I'm busy. At that stage, I was leading worship in church. I was a community leader. I had about 20 adults and 18 kids in the community, all coming to our house every Tuesday night. And I was running a big company, traveling every week. And I was like, yo, Jonathan, I'm busy. I'm busy. He says, ah, what are you busy with? I said, yeah, work. Work is busy. Shareholders and reporting and developments and, yeah. He'd be like, ah. So how are you going to fix that? Or how's your wife doing? I said, I think she's okay. And what about your children? I said, all three of my kids are well. He says, no, you've got five. I was busy and I was distracted and I thought I'm making a success of my life. But all I was really trapped in a glass prison with a nice wooden desk and a leather chair. And I was trapped because I couldn't be fruitful in the kingdom. I couldn't pour my life into anyone else except me and my business and my success and my... And he would say, Lucas, when you get to heaven one day, what is Jesus going to say about the time you've spent this last month? And I realized this business is crowding out the call of God on my life. It's crowding out the fact that I'm called to be a good husband who loves my wife and cares for her and buys her flowers on her birthday and writes a nice card for her instead of having somebody deliver flowers from somewhere from another country. The fact that I was called to be the primary one to educate my children, to teach them to love God, to teach them the worth of God and of the church, to teach them to love, to worship God, and to value Him more than money or gifts or cars. That we can't be fathers by giving them expensive things so that their lives are also crowded out by the love of this world and things. I was like Sage carrying multiple bean bags, thinking I was making a success, but actually I was tied up and ineffective and losing my race and unfruitful. And Jonathan came and spoke into my life. He said, I'm sure many people are very impressed by your awards, those plastic things there on your shelf. But I'm not impressed. And I don't think Jesus is impressed. And when Jonathan left from the coffee, I was like, that arrogant man. How dare he? Doesn't he know how hard I'm working? Has your heart ever done that when a leader has spoken to you the truth in love? But now I thank God for Jonathan. Because by the grace of God, my eyes were opened to see how stuck I was, how crowded out the Word of God was in my life. So I'm going to pause with abiding today. And then at the next opportunity, we'll look at belonging and contributing. Because if we will abide and belong and contribute, the Bible says that we will be very fruitful. And we will win the race that Christ has called us to. and win the prize and bring glory to God. Amen? Can we just bow our heads? Maybe, I know there's two groups of people here today when we've just spoken about abiding. The one, you've never actually taken your branch and been plugged into Jesus before. In fact, you don't even know what that means. How do I plug my life into Jesus? How do I become one of His grapevine branches? How do I get His life from Him? And the answer is that God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to come and live a perfect life and then to die, to give up His life on a cross. Why? Why would He do that? Because the Bible says that we have, all of us, sinned. We've missed the mark. We have not obeyed God. We have not loved Him with all our hearts. Each one of us, like sheep, have turned astray. We've walked off the racetrack. And because of that, what we deserve is not a glorious prize. But the Bible says that the wages of sin, the reward of sin, is death. Because we've broken God's commands and His laws, we haven't lived for Him, we haven't sought Him, each one of us deserves to die and to be separated from God forever. But God's love was so great that He decided that He would send His own Son to die in our place, so that those who believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, you know what, I've never given my life to Jesus. But I want to. And today is the day. The Bible says today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today, respond to Him. And the Bible says, if anyone believes in Christ, if anyone confesses his sin to Christ, Jesus will forgive us for our sins. And He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, everything can become new if you will just believe in Jesus. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, you know what, I do believe. I believe. Then I want to pray a prayer with you. A prayer saying, Jesus, I believe in You, and Jesus, I give You my life. And Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Come, let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I'm sorry for living my own way. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me, God. I want to give You my whole life today. I don't want to live my way anymore. I want to run Your race. I want to be plugged in to You, the grapevine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a second. If anyone prayed that prayer for the very first time today, I would love to chat to you afterwards. Would you mind to just wave at me? Just lift up your hand. I would love to chat with you afterwards. Just put up your hand if you prayed that prayer for the first time today. Well done. Well done. Awesome. Anyone else? Well done. Awesome. Great decision. Well done. You will never regret it. Is there anyone else? Just wave at me. I haven't seen everybody yet. I saw you guys. Well done. That's great. Anyone else? Okay. Okay. Well done. That's beautiful. I would love to ask the three of you, when we finish, just come and talk to me afterwards, okay? Okay. I would love to just say hi and encourage you. That is amazing. Well done. And now I want to speak to those of us who do know Jesus, who have been plugged in, who have started to run our race, but you know what? Life has begun to crowd in. And as we've been hearing the word of God today, you know it's time to do a spring clean. To put down the beanbag and the sunglasses. Maybe you know that your focus has been taken. Maybe it's by your work or by your business or by school or by sport or by any number of distractions. And when God calls you, you're like, God, I'd love to, but I'm too busy. I really feel Jesus is saying, I want to be first again. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first. And if that's you today, would you pray this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for putting you second. I'm sorry for putting other things in front of you. And maybe just take a minute to tell Him what are those things that you today are deciding that you're going to put down or take down the priority ladder so that He can be first again. Just take 30 seconds and tell Him. Let's do that now. Lord Jesus, your word says that we should repent when we are convicted by your Spirit. And Lord, I repent, and we repent, Lord, of anything that we've allowed to get in the way of our race, of anything that we've allowed to get in the way of bearing fruit for you and for your kingdom. Please forgive us, Lord. And come and prune us by your word this morning. Come and prune us by your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we're yours. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Joe?